Here this morning. I appreciate the presence of the Lord that we felt here. And God is more than enough, is he not? Amen. We don't need anything else besides him. And I know that God has changed my life. Amen. He turned me around, picked me up, turned me around. David said he picked me up also out of a horrible pit, out of a miry clay, set my feet upon a rock. He established my goings. I believe the same God that saves is the same God that'll keep you, don't you? Amen. It's good to be here this morning. I appreciate the opportunity. And always miss Brother Steve when he's not here. I don't think he likes to hear me preach, Brother Allen, because it seems like the only time I'm here is when he's gone. Amen. But it's good to be here. I appreciate the Lord. Appreciate the Moore family. It's like my second family growing up. And so all my ornery ways I learned from the Moores. Amen. Just like my kids are learning from the McDaniels. I learned it from the Moors. Amen. But you know, I was reading a story the other day about a man came into a town, never been there before, and was a preacher there in town, just pioneering a work. He walked by a store there. Man had a secondhand store, and he had on the sign, "Fixes everything except a broken heart." And so he went in and began to talk to that man. And asked him, you know, about different things in the store. And he said, "I couldn't help but notice." He said, "You've got a sign hanging there. Fixes everything except a broken heart." He said, "Yeah, I just put it there." He said, kind of get people's attention to come into the store and look around. He said, "But say, you look like a preacher." He said, "I am." He said, "Where do you send people that has a problem of a broken heart?" He said, "Well, there's a hospital called St. Luke. And there's a doctor there that specializes in fixing broken hearts." He said, "Well, tell me, where is the hospital and who is the doctor?" That old preacher pulled a Bible out of his pocket, opened up to the book of St. Luke and said, "Here's the hospital. Now let me tell you about the doctor." And he began to read where Jesus stood up and said, "The Lord God is upon me and he's anointed me to preach the gospel and give good tidings to the poor and to bind up the brokenhearted." And he began to tell that man about Jesus. And I want to tell you, it don't matter what you're up against in life. There is a doctor named Jesus that can touch any problem in your life. If it's finances, if it's health, whatever it may be, Jesus can touch it. And really, the song says it best, no one can touch you like Jesus can. Amen. So let's get in here this morning. I hope the Lord will help us. We need him. And just help my wife while she sings. Amen.
I wasn't there by the shores of Galilee when Jesus touched those blinded eyes and made them see. And though I did not see the empty tomb that day, I still believe, oh yes, I know what Jesus did for me. Yes, and I believe there is power in the blood of the Lamb, and I believe there is healing in the touch of his hand. But the greatest of all miracles was when my Jesus saved me. Oh yes, I know what Jesus did for me. Now I have seen the lowest sin, sick soul, have life anew and be made pure, pure and whole. And I have felt him loose the chains of sin and set my spirit free. Oh yes, I what Jesus did for me. Yes, and I believe there is power in the blood of the Lamb. And I believe there is healing in the touch of His hand. But the greatest of all miracles was when my Jesus saved me. Oh yes, I know what Jesus did for me. Yes, and I believe there is power in the blood of the Lamb. And I believe there is healing in the touch of His hand. Oh, but the greatest of all miracles, it was when my Jesus saved me. Oh yes, I know what Jesus did for me. But the greatest of all miracles was when my Jesus saved me. Oh yes, I know what Jesus did for me.
Oh, hallelujah. What a miracle it was when we got saved. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. You know, I feel very privileged to be raised where I was, how I was, by who I was. And I have to say that seeing Brother Rich here, I told my wife that changes a lot when I seen him step out of the car, because not only is he one of my heroes, he was one of my dad's heroes. And when I was a boy, that's the one Dad talked about all the time, that he patterned his life after and his ministry after. And, you know, I preached in quite a few states. And I've told people I've been privileged to be around people like Brother Ralph Cox and Brother L.D. Moore through Dad's association, and be able to sit there and talk to him. And I believe Brother Rich is a man right in that same caliber. And I appreciate seeing him here this morning. And praying for Brother Steve. He's in enemy territory down there vaccinating some pre-trib people this morning. So he told me he was going to straighten them out this weekend. Amen. But, well, let's get into the Word of God this morning. John chapter number 2. John chapter number 2. Amen. I hope the Lord will help me. Very, very familiar scripture. John chapter number 2. Amen. While I'm on the subject, good to see Brother Charles. He counts me as one of his grandkids. He tells me that, so it's good to see them. Amen. John chapter number 2. Starting with the first verse, the Bible said, "In the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee. The mother of Jesus was there, and both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, They have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there six water pots of stone after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing two or three firkins apiece. And Jesus saith unto them, Fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, Draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bare it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom. Saith unto him, Every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. Amen. I want to preach from these scriptures that the Lord will help me on. He changed it for the better. Amen. He changed it for the better. Amen. Anytime you look through the Bible, anybody Jesus touched, you'll never see him touching a man that was whole and him leaving lame. You'll never see him touching eyes that was seeing well and them leaving blinded. You'll never see him touching a live man and when he left, the man was dead. When Jesus changes things, he always changes it for the better, don't he? Amen. When Jesus touches a life, when Jesus touches an individual, when Jesus touches a body, he changes it for the better. Amen. We've read this story many, many times. And you've probably heard it preached from many times, but I feel like in our reading and in our preaching, a lot of times we forget what was really happening this day. Amen. We always talk about the water being changed to wine and the miracle that Jesus done, his first earthly miracle. And a lot of times we forget that there was a wedding going on. Amen. The Bible said that there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee. It was the happiest day in their life for a man and a woman. They was coming together that day to be wed and to live a happy life from there on out. It was a happy day, a joyous occasion. And you know, there was a man, I really don't believe it was the groom's obligation or his job to make sure there was wine there. No doubt there was servants and people that it was their job to make sure that the guest was fed and that the guest had something to drink. But somebody messed up. Amen. Somebody made a mistake. Somebody didn't calculate enough. There may have been somebody there that drank more than they thought they would, or for some reason, something happened, Brother Brock, and they ran into a problem. And you know, that's much like life is. The Bible said, I believe it was Job that made the statement that man that is born of a woman is few days and full of trouble. Amen. Life can change on you in a heartbeat, literally. Amen. It don't matter what's going on today. It don't matter how much money's in the bank. It don't matter how good your health seems to you. It don't matter how good your family seems to you. Life can change in a matter of moments. Amen. It don't matter if you're in a party like these people was. You can be in a party in life, so to speak, and you can have a problem. Amen. Now, I'll never forget right after we was married a couple years there, year and a half or 2 years, when Reese was born and he was about 3 months old, had a cough and didn't think anything was going wrong, didn't think anything of it, really. I was going to work. We had money in the bank. Everything was going good. New little baby boy. And I believe he was at 3 months old. Jill took him to the doctor that day just to make sure everything was all right, get the cough checked out. And I was working that day. Everything was going well. My cell phone rung, Brother Rich, and when I answered the phone, I could hear my wife crying on the other end. And I remember saying, "What's wrong, baby?" And she said, "They just told me that Reese's heart is almost twice the size that it's supposed to be and it could rupture at any time." And you know, I learned that day that life can go from pleasant to bad in a hurry. Amen. One phone call can change everything about your life. And that's what happened in this story. Amen. Everything's going good. The bride and groom didn't know anything was going on, but there was a tragedy that happened. Amen. And they came to the mother of Jesus and they asked her. And you know, I like that because the Bible said that Mary was favored among women. I believe that even though Jesus, probably at 30 years old in that area at this time, that Mary was still a woman of God. She was still somebody that the town looked to, that the town respected, that they knew she was a godly woman. They knew that she could help. No doubt she had helped in times past. She had gave good advice. Amen. And they came to her and they said, "We have no wine." And I want you to notice, and I wish every Catholic priest, every pope was here today to listen to this. When they asked Mary, "What can we do? We have no wine." You know what she did? She pointed to Jesus. Amen. She let them know at the beginning of his ministry, "I can do nothing more than you can do. My hands are tied." But I want you to know she remembered the day that the angel gave her a visitation and said, "The Holy Ghost is going to overshadow you, and that thing that is born of you is going to be of the Holy Ghost." Amen. He's going to be the Son of God. So when Mary came to a problem in her life that she could not handle, the first thing she did is say, "Look to Jesus." Amen. And you know, in the church world, in the day and hour that we are living in, We are dealing with people that has problems that I don't know how to handle. Amen. You can't go to a psychiatrist and get help. You can't go to AA and get help. Amen. There's people that's going to drug rehab and all they're trying to do is break the habit, but they cannot break the addiction. Amen. But when people come to the church and ask how they can get help, our hands are tied just like Mary's was. But I want to tell you one thing we can do. Amen. I like the way the song says it. I can't take a heart that is broken and make it over again, but I know a man who can. Amen. I can't take blinded eyes and open them up, but I know a man that can do it. Amen. The job of the church and the job of the preacher is not to fix problems in life, but it is to point men and women to a man that can change it. Amen. There is a man named Jesus that can step in any situation. He can step in any problem of life and he can answer the problem. Amen. One songwriter said it like this: for all of the problems of life, the answer is Christ. Amen. He is the hope for the hopeless. He's the water, the giver of life. Amen. This morning, I can't offer you a 12-step program to get you out of the mess you're in, but I can lead you to an old-fashioned altar and let you know that there is a man named Jesus that can conquer every storm, that can break every addiction, amen, that can change your life for the better. Oh, hallelujah. If you're in a valley, he is the lily of the valley. Amen. If you're in darkness, he is the bright and the morning star. If you're in turmoil, he is the peace that passes understanding. If you're lost, he's the way. If you're deceived, he's the truth. If you're dead, he is the life. Amen. If you're lonely, he said, I'll be a friend that'll stick closer than a brother. Amen. So every question that you have in life, you know what they start with? They start with either who, what, when, or why. Amen. So I got to going through the Bible and figuring out, can Jesus answer every question in life? Amen. In Hebrews chapter 12, we read it today in Sunday school, Brother Allen. Amen. He said he is sitting at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen. So if he is sitting, he is a person. Amen. We read in Galatians chapter 3 that we are in him. Amen. So if we are in him, then he is a place. Amen. In 2 Chronicles chapter 4, we find this treasure in earthen vessel. If he is a treasure, then he is a thing. Amen. In Acts chapter 2, we are to baptize in his name. If we are to baptize, then he is a ceremony. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, it tells about his second coming. So he is an event. So if he is a person, he's a who. If he's a place, he's a where. If he's a thing, he's a what. If he's a ceremony, he's a why. And if he is an event, he is a when. So I can tell you with assurance, every question that you have in life, the answer is Jesus Christ. Amen. It don't matter what you have. Amen. When burdens seem to overcome, there is a higher power. Amen. Somebody told me that if you've ever took heroin one time, that you are addicted for life. But can I tell you, if you are addicted, there is a higher power. Amen. If you've been under the influence of pornography, the thing that they say is the hardest to break, can I tell you, amen, that there is a higher power. Amen. My God, his son Jesus Christ can break every chain and every fetter in your life. Amen. In our church there in Bristow, there was a woman, and I'm sorry to say this, and I hope you don't fall out with me. She was one of them ones when she came to the altar, just kind of shook her head. It was another trip. It was another time she was in trouble.
On Sunday morning, she came back to church. That was unusual. Well,
Sunday night, she came back again. That was unusual. Wednesday night, she was back again. And Brother Allen, every time we made an altar call, she was the first one in the altar crying out to God. And I want to tell you, we watched as 1 month went by and she was still coming. 2 months went by, she was still there every service. 3 months went by, she was still there. Brother Allen, she stood up a few months ago with tears running down her face. And she said, I got a job last week. Hadn't had a job in years. She said, I got a job last week. And she said, my boss came in today and she asked me if I would watch the store. And she said, there's money in the register. And she said, that lady looked at me and said, Holly, I trust you. She said, do y'all have any idea how long it's been since somebody's told me that they trusted me with anything? I want to tell you, that's the man Jesus. That's what he can do. Somebody that nobody trusts. Amen. Somebody that's been addicted for years. I'm happy to say she's probably there this morning with tears running down her face. Amen. Because God changed her for the better. Oh, hallelujah. He can do it right here today. He can change you. We must look to Jesus. Amen. But number two, we must learn from Jesus. Amen. When she sent them to Jesus, she looked at those men and said, whatever he tells you to do, I don't know what he's going to tell you to do, but whatever he tells you to do, do it. Amen. And you know, that's exactly what we have to do in our churches. I can't tell you how to get out of the mess you're in. I can't tell you how to get out of the financial trouble or the health trouble or anything else you're in. And I want to tell you one thing I can do is tell you whatever God tells you to do. Amen. The Bible still says that obedience is better than sacrifice. But we have people that pray and God helps them. And we have people in our churches that's been saved for 10, 15, 20 years. But when God puts his finger on their life and tells them to do something, we want to tell God what we're going to do. Amen. But it's time for us to get back to a place where whatever God tells us to do, we must do it. Amen. Just like those 10 lepers in the Bible that came to Jesus and they wanted healing. And the Bible said that Jesus told them to go show themselves to the priest. We're no better. We're still lepers. But the Bible said as they were going, amen, God didn't touch them there at that place. Amen. But as they was going, as they was obeying the word of God, the Bible said that they was made whole. Amen. I want to tell you, if you're struggling in your life, can I preach to you this morning and tell you it's time to obey what the voice of God says. Amen. If he tells you to walk straighter, walk straighter. Amen. If he tells you to lay down the weight and the sin, lay it down. Amen. It's time for us to learn from Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. You say there's no way for God to change what's happened in my life. Amen. You know, I can't help but look at this story and see what he done right here in his first miracle. Amen. You see, wine is a complex thing, much like our problems in life. Amen. They look too hard for us to solve. Nobody can instantly make wine. We've got instant coffee. We've got instant tea. We've got instant potatoes. You never heard of instant wine, have you? You know why? Because it takes man a long time to perfect wine. Amen? We don't believe in drinking wine. But they say, if you drink it, the older it is, the better it is. Amen? It takes man a long time to do it. But you know what Jesus done that day? Amen? And I'm not here to discuss if this was fermented wine or not. But you know what Jesus done? He said, go get me water. One of the most simple liquids on the earth. H2O. Two parts hydrogen, one part oxygen. He said, go get me the simplest thing you know. And God said, I'll turn it into one of the most complex things that man can create in a moment's time. Amen. And the Bible said that when the bridegroom or when the governor of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, he told them, every man doth set forth the good wine at the first. And when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But you know what he said? He said, you save the best for now.
Amen. You know what Jesus was letting them know? Amen. Not like AA, 12 steps and you'll be away from it. Oh no. He said, I can break the addiction. Amen. He said, I can not only do what you can do, but I can do it better in a moment's time. Amen. How many of you have to remember that day? Amen. When God turned your life around. Amen. It reminds me of Jesus hanging on the cross. Amen. Everybody that had ever seen sin pushed back, they had seen it done through the blood of a goat or a heifer or a bullock. But that day hanging on the cross, amen, there was a thief that looked at him and said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And just like that, Jesus said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Amen. Can you imagine what the people thought that day? How did he do it? Amen. He didn't sacrifice a goat nor a bull or a heifer. Oh no. Amen. He sacrificed the precious Lamb of God. Then they saw grace for the first time. Amen. They saw how God can change it for the better. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. I'm not going to preach much longer here, but Jesus can change it for the better. Amen. We must look to Him. We must learn from Him. But this is the church's obligation, and I believe something that we have left in the past a lot of times. We must lift him up. Amen. Because when the governor of the feast tasted the water that was made wine, he began to praise the servants. He gave the right praise to the wrong person. You know, Brother Allen, I've heard people testify and say, when I went into the doctor last week, there was cancer in my body. And when I went back this week, there was no cancer in my body. And I've heard them say, I don't know what happened. I don't know if it was the doctor or God. Amen. You know what, we in this generation, we've got to a place where we have almost as much faith in the medical world as we do in God. And I want to tell you, it's time for the church of the living God, amen, to give the right praise to the right person. Amen. Because I know who it was that picked me up. I know who it was when I was a backslidden boy. I know who it was that reached down and pulled me up out of a horrible pit and out of a miry clay. And I can testify to the fact, amen, just like the servants could. If you'll read that scripture again, amen, he said that he knew not whence it was. But then in parentheses, the Bible said, but the servants which drew the water knew. Amen. You know what that lets us know? Amen. That those servants was there when the water turned into wine. Amen. And I'm not preaching to a bunch of people that don't know what happened to you. Amen. You was there when God changed your life. You was living in the parentheses. Amen. You was there when God turned you around. When God put your feet on a rock. Amen. And although the world may come into our church and wonder why we praise and we worship and we shout, amen, never let the church question why we worship God, because we was there when God saved us. We was there when God turned us around. We was there when God delivered us. Amen. It's just like David said in Psalms 100, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. O ye lands, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him. Amen. I wonder if there's anybody in the house this morning that's thankful for what God done for you. Amen. Are you thankful for where He picked you up from? I ought to be dead and in hell, but I say thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory. God picked us up and turned our lives around. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Jill, come and get us a song. I'm just about done. Amen. I close with this. There was a girl, a black girl. She's a long ways from God. She had an old black grandma. Amen. That was a saint of God, a mother of the church. And this girl was strung out on drugs, had a baby out of wedlock. But every time she would come and see Grandma, Grandma would say, baby, have you met Jesus yet? She'd say, no, Grandma, I hadn't met Him. And one day she came by. She was aggravated already. And Grandma said, baby, have you met Jesus yet? Brother Charles, she snapped at her and she said, "No, Grandma, I hadn't met him." She said, "If I ever do meet him, how will I even know it's him?" And I love what that old grandma said. She said, "Trust me, baby, when you meet Jesus, you'll know it's him." Amen. She said the next week she was sitting on her front porch. She heard the sirens coming. She said she seen when her granddaughter turned down her street with the cops chasing her, high on drugs, had that baby in the back seat. And they said at the end of Grandma's road, there was a block wall. And that girl was flying down that road with the cops hot on her trail. And they said right before she hit that wall, that car spun sideways and stopped. The police ran up, jerked her out of the car, put her in handcuffs, put her under arrest. And she said, "Hang on, before you take me to jail," she said, "tell me, who was that sitting in the car with me?" They said, "There was nobody in the car but your baby." She said, "Oh no, there was somebody that was sitting beside me." They said, "Oh, you're just drunk. You're high on drugs. There wasn't nobody in the car." Amen. But old grandma heard them talking, and she got down off the porch and walked down there to her, and she said, "Tell me, baby, who was in the car with you?" She said, "Grandma, I'd never seen him before, but he was dressed all in white." She said, "I couldn't see his face, but," she said, "right before I hit that wall and went out into eternity, he reached over and grabbed the wheel and spun my car sideways and stopped the car." And she stuck out her hand and said, "Congratulations, baby, you just met Jesus." "Oh, hallelujah." And she said, "Now, baby, tell me, since you met him, what do you think about him?" And that granddaughter reached back in her memory and began to sing an old song. "Can't nobody do me like Jesus. Can't nobody do me like the Lord." Amen. That's the way I feel this morning. Amen. When I look at Jesus and what he's done, I have to say, "Can't nobody do me like Jesus." He changed it for the better. Y'all stand with me all over the house. Amen. As I read through the New Testament and I see him touch blinded eyes and them leave seeing, I would say that's better. Amen. When I see him stop a funeral possession and a widow, amen, with her baby boy in the casket, and he stopped it and said, "Arise." Amen. And he that was dead got up. I would say that was better, wouldn't you? Amen. When I see lame legs in the Bible and Jesus touching them, that man that was let down through the roof, Jesus saying, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." And he immediately got up. I would say it was better. But I agree with the song my wife sung before I preached, the greatest of all miracles. Amen. I've got a boy back there that needs a miracle. I would love for God to touch his hand. I would love for God to put that muscle back in his chest. And I want to tell you, if he never experiences that miracle, if I can live to see the day he walks to an altar and gives his heart to God and stands up a saved boy, I'd have to say the greatest of all miracles is when God reaches down to somebody that deserves to go to hell and says, "You can turn around. I can change you for the better." Amen. I preach my heart to you this morning. Bow your heads all over the house. I don't know you. I don't know everybody here this morning. I don't know how you're living. But I am here to offer you a change that the world can never offer. Amen. If there's a sinner in the house, I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand. You say, "I'd like to get changed for the better. I'm tired of living like I'm living. I'm tired of the oppression of sin on my life. I'm tired going to bed at night and not knowing what would happen to me if I died in the night." I say God can change you for the better this morning. Is there one that'll just stretch your hands? I'm not going to ask you to step out from where you're at. I'm not going to embarrass you this morning. But you say, "I'd like to get changed. I know the Lord's dealing with people this morning. I'd like for God to change me for the better." Amen. Your marriage may be on the rocks. I don't know. I can tell you God can change it. He can change it for the better. Whatever the problem in life is, God can change it. All right, church, let's come in around these altars. Sinner friend, if you're here, if you need help in your life, I ask you, please step out with the church. Come to this altar. The preacher can't help you. The priest can't help you. Jesus can. He can turn it around. If you need help here this morning, I ask you, please give God a chance. Oh, hallelujah. Give God an opportunity to change it for the better.
I can't take.
Oh, yes.
Blind eyes to open. Or the lame.
Oh, no, I can't.
To walk again.
Oh, but I know a man.
But I know a man.
Hallelujah.
Who can.
Oh, I know a man that can change it.
I can't walk.
Hallelujah.
Upon the water.
Oh, no, I can't.
Or calm a raging sea.
Oh, but I know a man.
Oh, but I.
Oh, yes, I do.
I know a man.
Hallelujah.
Who can.
Hallelujah.
Oh, when some.
Oh, come on, church.
Call him Savior.
He's the Redeemer of all men. Oh, but I call him Jesus.
But I call him Jesus.
Hallelujah.
For he's my dearest friend.
Oh, yes.
And if you feel no one can help you and your life is out of hand, then I know a man who can.
Oh, yes.
I can take a heart that's broken.
Oh, no, I can't.
Make it over again.
But I
know a
man.
But I know a man
who can.
And I can take a soul that's sin stained, make it white as the snow. Oh, but I know a man who can. And some call him Savior, the Redeemer. But I call him Jesus, for he's my dearest friend. If you feel no one can help you and your life is out of hand, well, I know a man who can. Oh, when some they call him Savior, the Redeemer of all men, but I call him Jesus, for He's my dearest friend. And if you feel no one can help you and your life is out of hand, well, I know a man who can.